good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. I tell you what, there ain't nothing like being a Christian. Amen. I tried it the other way, and this is a whole lot better. Amen. One of the musicians be seated if you'd like to. It's an uphill battle. It's an uphill climb, but I tell you what, it's worth the challenge. Amen. We have mountaintops. We have valleys. We thank God for the mountaintops, and we thank God for the valleys. Amen? So, I don't know, but then I don't like the valleys. Well, the valleys is usually where the growth comes. You know what? That's whenever you really got to struggle, and that's when the real testing takes place. Now, anybody can do it when it's easy. I remember something. I was in ag class years ago. I remember I was pretty young, and I acted real young. And I remember while I was in class, the ag teacher, he said, "I want you and you and you," and I was one of the you. He said, "You stay after class." I just had to stay after class, and he said something I'll never forget. He said, "I want you to remember something. Anybody can be a punk."
That's right.
Anybody. He said, it takes somebody to be somebody.
That's right.
And you know what? That's the best whipping I ever had. Mm-hmm. And shortly after that, I started seeing some changes in a little bit. But the Lord's the greatest change. But I say that to say, that's anybody can be like this world.
Right.
But you know what? It takes a special somebody to be a believer,
right,
to be an overcomer. Amen. I want to speak to you this morning on end time warriors.
Amen.
Let's go to Numbers chapter 13, and we're going to read verses 30 through 33. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome." But the men that went up with them said, "We be not able to go against the people, for they are stronger than we." And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, "The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that saw it in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the son of Anak, which some of the giants, and we were in our own sights as grasshoppers." I want you to realize what they said. It says, "We saw in our own sights as grasshoppers." That means they saw their self as a grasshopper. The way you see yourself has a difference. We saw our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. Let's all bow our heads. Let's pray. Father, I come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus. I ask you, Father, that you'll take control of this service, Lord. Take the control of my voice, my body, my mind. Lord God, I yield myself over to you. Lord, I'm going to be a yielded vessel. Speak through me today, Lord. Lord God, I ask you to touch every heart that's here today, Lord. May we push our own selves to the side, our ideas, our thoughts to the side, and let us hear what you have to say to us today, Lord. Help us examine it by your scriptures. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You can be seated. I want to go also to Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. It says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." I want to be in the perfect will of God. Say amen.
Amen.
One of the most powerful forces on this earth is a son or daughter of God walking in the will of God. Amen.
Right.
It doesn't say it'll be easy, but I'm telling you what, you will be the most powerful when you are in the will of God.
Amen.
You take a father and a son, the father can say, "Son, I want you to do this job for me. That's my will. You do this, you mow this yard for me, and don't worry about the other obstacles that have to take place." What did daddy say? Mow the yard.
That's right.
If you will concentrate on mowing that yard, it's daddy's responsibility to provide the tools to mow that yard. If you'll do that, you're in daddy's will. And then if something comes up in the need of mowing that yard, I need a weed eater to do this, guess what? A weed eater will be provided. I'm here to tell you, when God gives you a job to do in this life, and that's walking in the will of God, when we will walk in the will of God, God will provide the tools that you need to overcome.
Right.
Amen. You know, the thing about overcoming, just for a moment, if you've never been tempted by cigarettes, you can't necessarily say, "I have overcome cigarettes." But, you know, bless God, I've overcome it, and you can't stand the smell. Well, you never overcome it. To really overcome something is when you are tempted by that thing. When that thing is over you and it comes by and you smell that nasty, ugly, filthy, there ain't nothing worse than a cigarette. I can't say I've ever overcome it because I can't stand the things. Never could. But you know what? Your temptation, if it's something that you are not truly tempted by, that's not overcoming. Amen?
Right.
You know, overcoming is something whenever it's something that you are truly tempted by. And when a child of God is tempted by Satan, it's not going to be by something unattractive, or take some young man that's going to be attracted by a woman. He's not going to bring some ugly person. I hate to say that. You know what I'm saying. They're not going to bring somebody that's not attractive to you. They're not going to bring somebody that stinks. They're not going to bring somebody but they don't ever take a bath. And like that, it's going to be the perfect opportune in the temptation. It's going to be somebody that's clean. It's going to be someone that's attractive. It's going to be somebody that has all the physical qualities that will attract a young man. That's the temptation. And when it's a temptation for a woman, it's not going to be some stinky old guy that don't ever take a bath. It's going to be some guy with a big old burly chest, not like me. It'd be like the burly guy. It's not going to be something like that. It's going to be a temptation. It's going to be somebody that you look up and you say, oh, wow, look at that guy. That's temptation. And you say, but Daniel, I'm not fighting it. You know your temptation. The devil will have every one of us have a temptation.
Right.
And you have to overcome that thing. A lot of times you'll pray, God, take this out of my life. God sometimes not going to take it out of your life because he wants you to overcome that thing. That's right. Because if he just took it out of your way, if I was going to be a boxer and I was going to step into a boxing ring, I can't have the Lord take him out of my way. And all of a sudden, I'm the champion. I'm the undisputed champion of the world. I ain't fought in 14 years, but I'm the undisputed champion. No, in order to be the champion, you've got to get in the ring and you've got to fight. And I'm here to tell you, as a believer today, you have to get in the ring and you have to fight. Amen? God wants somebody that will fight for him today. God wants somebody that will take the word, and the word says, I should do this. The world says, I should go this way. You can go with the crowd. You can say, I'm going with the word no matter what. And that is being a warrior. You know, the thing about a warrior is when you get knocked down, you get right back up. Amen?
Right.
Anybody can fight whenever you ever get knocked down, but it's when you get knocked down, can you get back up then? When you fall flat on your face, can you get back up then? Amen?
Right.
Anybody ever been knocked down before? All right, let's take the halos and let's put them in your back pocket. You can pick them up after service. How many has been knocked down?
Amen.
Amen. Every one of us have been knocked down. I'm talking about a realistic gospel this morning. We're going to get to something. Thing about the Word of God is there anything that's good, anything that's valuable, it has to be tested.
That's right.
It has to be tried. You know, testing comes whenever it's under pressure. Testing comes whenever it's not the perfect opportune times. Testing comes whenever it's so much easier to go this way. I want you to look at this. The children of Israel, God told them, I have given you this land and you're going to go take it. And these children of Israel, they looked at this thing, and God gave them the promise. God gave them the tools. God said, I've given you that land. Now you go take it. And they looked at the obstacles and said, I can't do it. I'm overwhelmed. I'm here to tell you, our promised land and our hour is God said you can have an Eden condition in your experience with God. And it looks impossible. In this hour, more than any other hour, it looks more impossible than anything to walk in an Eden condition with God, because you have more filth, more devils that we contend with on a daily basis than any other day. Is that right?
Right.
Every day. You go to work, you have to fight, you have to go against the spirit of homosexuality, you have to go against infidelity, you have to go against the spirit of robbery, you got to go against the spirit of pride. You have to fight it more than any other day. You fight them devils every single day. And you know what? You have to be every day. You have to seek God. Say, God, I need your leadership today. I know your word says that I can have this land, but how do I do it, God? I'm falling flat on my face. If you fall flat on your face, listen to me. You get right back up. You repent. You say, God, forgive me. And you start marching again. And you got to keep that vision right in front of you. God gave you a vision. God, processes don't fail. People do. That's right. Processes don't fail. People do. You take a process that's been proven, it's been tried, you follow that process, you'll get the same result.
Right.
But if you skip steps, you try to do it another way, you try to go an easier way, you'll fail every time. Accidents that take place on a job or anything, it's because they did not follow the process. Is that right, Brother Tony?
That's right.
There's a process in order, and when you follow this process, you'll get the same results. God redeems earth, the earth, the same way he'll redeem man. Justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost. Is that right? Justification, whenever you repent, you say, God, forgive me. I didn't mean to do it. You truly repent from your heart and you justify before God and you receive water baptism. Justification. Man goes through that. The Spirit, but we call it justification. So when you repent, you give your heart to the Lord, you receive water baptism. Justification, you receive water baptism. Then there's sanctification. You take that word after that point and you start applying that word to your life. You hear that word, you say, Lord, I believe that to be the truth. And you start applying that, and the Lord gave you the spirit of sanctification. Am I telling you the truth?
Amen.
And that's the blood. The blood is the word is the blood. And then you got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. God will send a holy fire on the inside. They'll actually burn out that old nature. Because when you're justified, and when you come to water baptism, you say, God, forgive me, and you receive water baptism, you still have the same old stinky desires. You still have the same old problems. You keep going through and you'll keep making mistakes. You'll keep making mistakes. It's because that old nature has got to be burned out through the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Right.
That's right. Water baptism, justification is a wonderful step. Receiving the Lord's a wonderful step. Receiving water baptism is a wonderful required step.
Right.
The word says, repent, be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Process. And when you follow that process, you'll get the results. Say, God redeems the earth the same way. Justification, God sent Noah in the times of Noah and flooded the earth. Sanctification, Jesus Christ was on Calvary and his blood was upon the earth. And there's going to be a great tribulation period that's going to purge this earth. Is that right?
Right.
And that purging of the earth is for a purging of this earth. That is not for the bride. Hello?
Right.
We receive our purging through the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost will actually burn out the old nature of inside. You can take a crow and put him on a pedestal, and he can sit there, and he can make that horrible sound that a peacock sounds like. I remember the first time I ever saw a peacock. I thought, that's the prettiest thing I've ever seen. We were at the zoo, and I finally rustled up enough money where I could have a camera. And I seen this peacock. And I said, oh my goodness, that's the prettiest bird I've ever seen. I walked up real close to him. And this peacock was standing there and his beautiful feathers. I walked up to him and took that picture. And that thing went, rah! How many knows what I'm talking about? Peacock is the noisiest, scariest thing. I about broke my camera that I finally came over to money. You can take that crow and he can try to dress just like that peacock. He can put the peacock feathers in him and he can say, I want everybody to look at me. I'm a peacock. But under the real true pressure, he'll manifest himself as a crow.
That's right.
So we can put feathers inside of us and make ourselves imitate like we're something. But the real us is on the inside. I would rather see somebody that's not right on the outside necessarily, but they're right on the inside. Because that's where God works from. Jesus looked at the Pharisees, Sadducees, he says, on the outside, you're full of all this righteousness, but on the inside, you're full of dead man's bones. Because on the outside, they're righteous, but the inside, they were fake.
Right.
I don't want to be fake, I want to be real. Because
yeah.
God will work with your heart, friend. I'm telling you what, it's a relationship between you and God where God will work with you on your level. He ain't going to talk to you in Spanish unless you speak Spanish.
That's right.
He's going to work on your level. He'll get on your level, and he'll work with you, and he is your tutor. I love that. Brother Brennan talks about how the tutor, the Holy Ghost, they'll send a tutor to you. And this Holy Ghost will work with you. And Brother Brennan used the illustration of loading trucks. If you're loading a truck, this truck, say you're loading glass, that Holy Spirit will work with you, or that the inspector will work with the workers that are loading that truck, and they'll say, you load these jars just exactly right, because if you don't load them exactly right, under pressure, they're going to break. So you'll have to go back and reload. And that inspector's job is to make sure that thing is loaded correctly. A lot of times people think that their carts are loaded right, and they think, look, man, I'm past all this preaching. But if you watch their life, you'll see explosion after explosion after explosion after explosion. Hello?
Yeah.
You got to go back to that cart. and you got to redo that cart, and you got to reload it, and reload it, and reload it. What I'm saying is, there'll be times you'll say, Brother Daniel, seems like I'm doing so good, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, this explosion comes out of me, and I think, where in the world did that come from? How did I even get mad like that? Now, is it the devil's fault, or is it our fault? You know, you take a metal, or a magnet, and you can take a sand here, a bucket of sand, that don't have no metal in it, and you take a bucket that's got metal in it, and you take that magnet, and you wave it over the one that don't have any metal in it, you can wave it all you want to. You're not going to pick nothing up, because there's no metal in it. You take it in the other, it don't matter how deep it is, you put the strong enough magnet, it's going to pick it up every time. Because it's still there. So is it the magnet's fault, or is it the metal that's in the sand? The devil ain't going nowhere, friends. Not until we get over there. So you say, God, it's not my fault I fail. It's not my fault I keep making this mistake. It's the devil, because the devil keeps tempting me with it. No, you've got to come to the point where you overcome that thing.
That's right.
And you put that thing under the blood of Jesus Christ and let that devil come over and over and over again, and you'll overcome him. Time after time after time again. That's right. Now you know yourself, I'm saying. You know your own battle. You know your own thing. And the devil will come by and he'll tempt you over and over again. And feel like you overcome it. And you've overcome it for a long time. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, he pops his head up again. Warriors will get right back up and stand back up on your feet. So what I'm trying to say is, repent and get back in line. Amen? Repent and get back in line. It looks absolutely impossible for me to have this eating condition, but God said I can have it. Amen?
Right.
I tell my kids every day, or try to, the most important thing you have in this life is your name. And it's your word. That's the most important thing you have. Because whenever you die, if the Lord takes me off the scene today, that's it. With the life that I lived at that point, that's all I've got, is the life that I lived. The most important thing you have in this life is your word. And if you tell my boys over and over, if you tell somebody you're going to do something, you absolutely do it. And I'll tell you something, God is just like that. God is a man of his word, a God of his word. And he wants all God wants in this hour is somebody to truly believe him. And say, Lord, I don't understand it, but I believe it. I believe your word. I believe in the opposition. I believe no matter how fake it looks, out there, whenever I look at the mirage of this world that says it's impossible to reach anybody today. It's about end time evangelism. You can preach this message, preach this message, preach this message. It's like nobody wants to hear it. Is that right?
Right.
You guys live in the same world that I do.
Yeah.
You can try to talk to somebody about the scriptures. Try to talk about your experience and what you're about. And they look at you and scratch their head like, what? I have no idea what you're talking about. You're taking this way too serious. Yeah. Amen. God's word is who God is. And, you know, I like to do my garden. I got to get over this hump so I can get to my message. I like to do gardens, and I plant these seeds in the ground. And every one of those seeds will produce whatever I put in the ground. If I put a tomato plant, it's going to produce a tomato plant, or vice versa. And today they've got processed foods to where you can get a hybrid corn or a hybrid tomato. Looks bigger than mine, looks better than mine, but you take theirs and you plant that inside the ground, you're not going to get the same results because it can't produce anything. And what I'm showing you is a seed will bring forth of its kind. And God, in the very beginning, when God created this earth, he spoke the word. He said, let there be trees, and there was trees. He said, he spoke the word. He said, let there be birds, and there were birds. Anytime God created anything, he spoke the word, and he had faith in his own word, and it happened. And every time he ever produced anything, he went back to the spoken word. And Adam and Eve were in absolute eating condition. Adam was in a condition to where he had no oppositions out here. All he saw was what God saw. And friends, that's what we've got to get back to, where all we see is what God wants me to see.
Amen.
I stop looking at it out here. Don't look it up there. You look at what God wants you to see. And in this garden, they had to, and God allowed Satan to do what he did. God allowed Satan to work through the serpent.
God allowed the fall to take place because God had to manifest himself. God had the attribute inside him to be a redeemer. God had the attribute inside him to be a comforter. God had the attribute inside him to be a deliverer. But was he a deliverer yet? Was he an overcomer yet? Elijah, come here, son. This man right here has the attribute to be a grandfather. Does he look like a grandfather? If he does, he's looking good. I want to look that good. He has the attribute to be a father. He has the attribute to be a husband. Is he a husband yet? Better not be. He has the attribute to all these things, but he's not one yet. In order for him to be a grandfather, he has to get married, and they have to have children, and then they have to have children. And then the attribute of grandfather is manifested. But up to that point, all he has is the potential to be a grandfather. You can go ahead and say it. He can have the potential to be a sales manager. He ain't no sales manager. In order to do that, you have to go through the manifestations to take place. And here I tell you, God had the attributes to be a redeemer. God had the attributes of all these things. There was no dream. There was nothing. It was only God and his thinking. It was God and his thoughts. And God had attributes inside him. I will be a redeemer. I will be a comforter. I will be a savior. I will be these things. God had them. That in order for those to take place, it had to manifest. A thought is only a thought until it's spoken, and then it becomes a word. Is that right?
Right.
God had all these attributes. So you can say, why, if God loves me, why in the world would God put me in a world where people die? Why would God put me in a world where sin takes place? Why would God put me in a situation where I have to be tempted? Why would God do that? If God loves me, why would he do that? It's because God has attributes inside him, and you are what's going to make him who he is. That's right. Because if you were never lost, you would never need a Savior. But because you're lost, you said, God, I need you. And at that moment, when God steps on the scene and he says, I'm here, he picks you up, God is a Savior at that moment. You have fulfilled his scripture of being a Savior. And God allowed what happened in the Garden of Eden to take place with the serpent. The serpent wasn't some little snake going across the ground. If you look at the scriptures after the curse, he says, from this day forth, you'll eat the dust of the ground. Before that, that serpent was a walking upright beast, looked just like a man, talked just like a man. Only difference between us and him was he didn't have a soul on the inside. And I want to show you, this is why a woman should never hold the word of God as far as preaching the word of God. Eve was taken out of Adam. And as long as the serpent would try to come to Eve when she was with her husband Adam, he would never get to her. The only way he could ever get to Eve was he had to get Eve away from her husband. And that's exactly the way the devil does it today. He'll get you away from the word. If the devil can get you away from the word, he can tempt you and he can whip you all day long. But if you'll stay with the word, no matter how many angles he tries to come at you, he'll never get to you. There ain't nothing worse, in my opinion, than a filthy God that will cause a woman to cheat on her husband. Or vice versa. A woman that'll do the same thing. It's the most wicked and filthy thing in this world. And the world is full of it. But the serpent got Eve away from her husband. And they produced. Now, how did God create before? By the spoken word. Right. Every time. God would speak the word. He said, let there be trees. There was trees. Let there be fish. There was fish. By the spoken word. For the first time ever, there was a consummation that took place in the flesh where pleasure was involved. And when they did that, it produced a child. It was going to produce a child. It was going to. And God cannot destroy his own life. God cannot destroy his own word. See how important it is to have the word? Because if you got the word in you, God can't destroy you. The serpent looked at this, or Adam looked at this, and he knew what happened, and Adam knew she's a byproduct of me. God is going to wipe her off the earth. God is going to destroy Eve. because she has done this wicked thing. They were in an Eden condition, and she allowed this fall to take place, and here she is in filth. She is caught. They're red-handed. There's nothing she can do. She's guilty. And Adam looks at this, and Adam had a choice. Adam said, I can let... He could have got mad and said, you know what? You deserve to die. You deserve the judgment that's going to come upon you. Because I see what you've done. You've done this. But Adam loved her. And because Adam loved her, Adam put his life inside her also. Because God cannot destroy his own life. That's right. If you look at it and you research it, a woman can be pregnant with two seeds from two different men at the exact same time. Am I telling the truth? If she was impregnated by the serpent first, and then quickly Adam went in, and she was pregnant with two different seeds, with Adam's seed and the serpent seed. And God comes down in the cool of the evening, as he always did, and at one time Adam said, here comes God, here comes that great presence of God coming down to speak to me. I can't wait. Lord, come, Lord Jesus, come. I can't wait for this presence to come. All the times before, Adam was excited when God would come. But this time, he was not excited. You remember the kiddos, whenever everything's cool, and everything's good, and you see Daddy come, like, all right, Daddy's here. And you give him a big old hug, and you meet him at the door. But what about the times when you know you got a whipping coming? You'll be sitting inside there, and all of a sudden you hear those pipes coming up the road. You're like, you'll start getting sick at your stomach. And immediately you'll start thinking about reasons why you love Daddy. Yeah, but he was like, Daddy, I love you. Daddy, I just love your truck. I just love everything about you. Trying to get your mom up the whipping, what they're trying to do. Well, Adam, all the times before, he was excited to see God come down. But this time it was different because he knew what took place. And this time was different than all the other times because this time Adam really done it. And God comes down and God says, Adam, where art thou? God knew where he was. God knew exactly where he was. And God knows where you are. He said, Adam, where art thou? He knew exactly what he's talking about is, where is my perfection, Adam? I created an absolute Eden perfection, Adam, and you stepped out of that. And when you stepped out of that, you stopped out of that communion with God. I want you to think about something. Adam was at a position prior to this where he could talk to God lip to ear. I'm talking God can come down and speak to him and he can truly walk with God. No obstacles. He only heard what God wanted him to hear. He only saw what God wanted him to see. It was absolutely an Eden condition. And because they did this, God cannot allow that to take place. And God drove them out of the Garden of Eden. But before he did that, he clothed them with the sheep coats. The coats of the sheep. And I imagine as they were walking out, driven out of that garden, they're walking. I imagine those coats begin to flap against Adam, and blood began to go down his legs. And as Adam walked out of the Garden of Eden, he looked at that blood and he received a revelation. I'm being driven out of this Garden of Eden condition. I'm driven away from this close walk to God that I once had. He said, but one day, by this blood, I will be back. And God put a cherubim on the east side of the Garden of Eden. He had the flaming sword, and he had sling that sword and to make sure they could never go back in there. Why would God do that? Why would God allow this to take place? Because if they were able to come in that presence, they would be eternally a sinner. They would eternally be filthy. And God can't fellowship with that. Is that the truth? God put that thing there, and I'm here to tell you, the spoken word was the original seed, and it still is, the spoken word. People want feelings. They want reproductions by flesh. They want reproductions where they have something in that. But I'm here to tell you, it's by faith. It's by speaking the word. He was the first Adam. And I'm going to show you something. With those two children that he had twins. Eve had twins. Cain and Abel. And one served God, and the other absolutely hated him for it. And if you look down through the scriptures, you'll see the lineage that it was absolutely the seed of the serpent. Amen. It was the seed of the serpent. You can see clearly. If you look at the vine, you look at the two lines of lineage, you'll see that Adam's people were simple herdsmen that loved God and went from tent to tent. And the others were builders, smart men, all the way down through scriptures. That was the first Adam. I'll show you the second Adam.
down through time, do the most religious elders, the Pharisees, Sadducees, they all had these, thou shalt do this. This, as we're talking about, they were very righteous on the outside. They had the laws. They claimed they had Moses. They claimed they had the truth. But they knew that the Messiah was going to come and take place. And when the Messiah come, they all had an expectation. When God comes, he's going to come this way. He's going to come through my church. He's going to come through this way. This is the way God's going to come. And they all had an expectation. This is the, if there is going to be, people still do the same thing today. They say, if there's going to be a move of God in this service, this is the way it's going to come. But God don't go the way you think a lot of times. They said, if God comes, this is the way he's going to come. And because it didn't come the way they come, he came through a manger. But whenever he came, an angel came to Mary and spoke a message. Spoke the word. Why did Jesus have to come through a virgin? Why did he have to? He had to come a virgin. Why? Because the original was perverted. And this was the original way. The original way God was going to create was through the spoken word. God come to Mary through an angel and spoke a message to her. And she said, be it unto me according to thy will. And by faith, she received the word inside her. And by faith, she accepted Christ. It was by faith. Now the churches will tell you, you got to have emotion, you got to have feelings, you got to have the Holy Ghost. And when the Holy Ghost comes on, you'll get shivers all over you. When the Holy comes on, you'll speak in tongues immediately. You can. But that is not the evidence of the Holy Ghost. You talk to people that will speak in tongues and then go right after that and go sleep with another man's wife. You'll have people that will play the music and bring the house down. I was talking to a man the other day at work. He said, Daniel, he said, you see that guy sitting over in that chair that was sitting there a while ago? I said, yeah, I did see him. He said, he's the greatest musician you'll ever hear in your life. He said, I'm here to tell you, Daniel, he said, I just told that man, if you'll come to my church and you'll play that music, he said, we'll be the biggest, most powerful church anywhere around. I said, brother, you're missing it. The word is what makes you the most powerful church. You can have your church pumped full of people with the best musicians, best lights, everything. But if you don't have the word, your church is dead. Is that the truth? The word is what changes you. The word is the seed. The word is the original seed. When you put that seed in the ground, it will bring forth the original thing. And she received the word by the spoken word. I was telling you a while ago about the tomato plants, the hybrids. They can make the more hybrid tomatoes. They can make the hybrid sunflower seeds, everything you can imagine, they can hybridize it. And what that is, they'll take the original life and they'll put something with that. And what they'll do when they produce that, they'll make it bigger. You can get a chicken that's like 6 weeks old. And used to, when you were little, when I was growing up, your chicken, you know, 6 weeks old, he's pretty small. You try eating him, you better be skinny. Because you will be if you don't. But today, that hybrid chicken, that same one, he used to be a little bitty guy. He's a big old fat guy. And that poor little chicken, I remember one time, one fell out of the back of a truck going down the road. My grandma, you just have to know my grandma, she got out. We pulled over. She run beside the highway as quick as she could, and she grabbed this big old chicken and run back in there, and she said, now, and close that door, and I'm looking at her like, you're going to put this chicken inside my car. And we take this chicken up there, and she says, well, I couldn't just let him be out by the highway. And then this big old chicken, you know, we're sitting here, and I'm like, at this point, I'm a teenager. I'm a young guy, and then looks is important. And here this guy is going out with a chicken in his car. You know, it wasn't very good for the image. We took it to my aunt's house and gave it some water and stuff. And you know what that little chicken would do? He would sit there, and he was going. He'd just bob his head because he was just a baby. In his mind, he was just a baby. He had all the mechanics of being a big chicken, but he didn't have it here. And I'm here to tell you, that's what happens a lot of times in today's age. You get big real fast, and you feel like you got it, but you don't. Right here. We've tried putting that chicken out there with all the others, and he didn't make it too long. I'm showing you, it's a hybridized. They do it because we live in an age, you want it now, you want it better, you want it quicker. I don't want to wait for the full length of a chicken. I don't even know how long it is anymore. Used to, I did, I can tell you. I don't want to wait for the full term for that chicken to get big. I want it now. So you make them quicker, you make more money. But it's hybridizing. And when you hybridize these seeds, you can take a hybrid tomato that looks great, it looks pretty, it looks better than all the others, but you take that tomato and put it in the ground, it'll never produce. But if you take the original seed and you put it in the ground and you put it in the right environment, it will produce what it needs to produce, even today. That's right. And I'm here to tell you, the word is a seed. As I said, the spoken word is the original seed. When the spoken word, the original spoken word spoken to you, and you say, Lord, I believe that, you will produce what you're hearing. Listen to me. You will produce what you're hearing. The ministry that you're sitting under, that's what you will produce. That's right. That's why it's so important. The word that's spoken to you, the word that's given to you, it's our job to take what's preached to us and we take it to the scriptures and say, is this according to scriptures? Is what I'm hearing according to scriptures? I was telling Brother Tony, I had a tomato plant in my garden. It's been probably about 2 weeks ago. I've been working a lot of hours for my job, so I ain't had time to give it the attention that I wanted to. And I had this one tomato plant, and he was yellow from the bottom all the way to the top. And he had just one little bitty red bud on it. And I seen him, and I said, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and pluck him up and just get rid of him. And I said, no, I'll just wait a little bit. And I watered it, and about 2 weeks goes by. And my wife, when I go out in the mornings, and I try to get my snacks for the day, I'll get my tomatoes off my garden, and I'll snack on that day. And I seen that yellow tomato plant. And he produced the prettiest red tomato you've ever seen. I looked at all the other tomato plants, and they were greener, they were bigger, they were taller, but this one produced a tomato plant that was better than theirs, in my opinion. And you know, I got something out of that. Somebody could have looked at him and said, you ain't worth it, you ain't got no fruit in your life, you have nothing in you that points you like a Christian at all. You will feel like that yellow, dried up tomato plant. You'll feel like there ain't no hope for you. You'll feel like, you know what, if someone looks at me and look at my experience, and let's just be honest with ourselves. You talk about how you feel about yourself when you see yourself, because it's important. As I said earlier, they saw themselves as grasshoppers. It's real easy for ourselves to think of ourselves as a grasshopper. It's real easy for us to look at ourselves as something worse than a grasshopper. But you know what, we may feel like we're that little yellow nothing. But if you keep yourself in the right environment, you will produce what God called you to produce.
Amen.
Amen. But you've got to keep yourself in the right environment. The spoken word is the original seed. The spoken word, when we hear the word and we apply that word to our life, we will get the exact same results.
Amen.
That's right. If you need healing, I'll tell you something. Whenever you're down and you're out and you feel sick, where you feel like you're on death's door, I'm going to tell you something. You do not feel like you've got faith. Brother Benham talked about how he went and visited that one sister and said that she was lying in the hospital bed and she was going to die. Brother Benham went to go see her and he said, I knew she didn't have faith. I knew she didn't. He said, I told her. He said, did something come to the Lord? Told her there was a cord hanging from the ceiling. We used to do that a lot at our house. You'd have a cord because the ceiling's real tall and you had a little pull string. You'd have a string on it. You'd pull that string and then turn the light on. Well, the string was hanging down, and Brother Benham, he said, move that string. And that sister laying on her bed, on her deathbed, she's fixing to die, says, move that string. And she looked at that and says, I can't, Brother Benham. He said, move the string. She couldn't do it. And he said, I knew she didn't have faith. And Brother Benham said, he actually used his faith and actually moved that string. Look it up.
Right.
She didn't have faith. I'm here to tell you today, a lot of people got it here that they don't have no faith. And we got to have faith for a body change. You got to have faith one day to take a rapture. It's not just going to come where you can just go hunky-dory through this life and one day I'll just float in the cloud there by you. No, it's going to be by faith. And it's going to be a secret thing. Hollywood's got it produced where it'll be planes crashing, buses wrecking, cars going all the way because the rapture takes place. It won't be nothing like that.
Right.
People come to Jesus and said, wasn't Elias supposed to come first? He said, truly Elias did come first. And you didn't even know it. And they knew then he was talking about John the Baptist. God come in a secret appearance.
And this secret appearance, God come through them. I'm here to tell you, the rapture is going to be a secret. If there was 10 people taken out of Fort Smith this morning in a rapture, who would know about it? And how long would it be before you even knew about it? If there was 10 people in Fort Smith today, there's probably 10, if you look in the obituaries this morning, there's probably more than 10 people that died today. This, the rapture is going to be so secret, people will go to church thinking they're touching God. People will worship God. People will hear some guy say, I wish this guy would preach deeper messages because I'm deeper than he is. And they'll go right on church and thinking that they're because they got it here. But they don't have it here. Faith in the original word. That's right. Because faith is, you can quote quotes all you want to. I remember this boy right here was sick in the hospital month after month after month after month. To the point everybody knew us by name. If you go to the Poto Hospital, they've got a wagon there that they pull kids around. They bought that from him. He'd get sick over and over and over again for Elijah. He'd get pneumonia after over and over and over again. I'll never forget this, friends. Honest truth. Trial after trial after trial after trial. Why does God bring us through trials? I'm going to show you why. We'd go to hospital after hospital. Every time we'd go there, and my wife would sit there and hope the Bible. And I'd say, you watch this. And I would quote word for word. I could quote the book of Revelations. And I could quote it just like that. I got to where I could quote message books. I could quote. I said, you hear, I'd quote it. And he was laying there in a hospital bed. And I didn't even have enough faith for my own boy to get healed. And I remember I was quoting that, and that voice spoke to me and said, you've got faith to do that. You don't even have faith for your son to be well. It don't matter how much we can quote. Pharisees could quote the law just like that, just like that, just like that. But then whenever Jesus walked right in their midst, they did not even recognize him. They hated him. They said, here comes that preacher again. I can't stand listening to that guy preach. But whenever he would preach, he would preach with authority. That boy was born with the eczema all over his face. And he would sit there in a hospital bed. And he would be just, I'm telling you, we'd go to libraries. People would say, look at that poor baby. They'd point their fingers at him. And say, what's wrong with your baby? And I'd say, there ain't nothing wrong with my baby. He's perfect. And I started realizing then, I've got to see him healed. I've got to see it to believe it. You got to see yourself in this rapture to believe it. You preach it, you've been preached to you, you believe it, you say, I'm going in this rapture. If there's one person in this room going in this rapture, it's me. I'm going in this rapture. And he was sick, and again, he got pneumonia all over again, and his face was all broken out, and it was on a Wednesday, we lived in Poto, and I had a white shirt on that night, and I didn't even have enough gas to get to church. And I had to drive all the way to Pecola. And I'm here to tell you, whenever you're going through a hard time and you feel all by yourself and you feel all alone, I'm telling you what, you don't feel like you've got faith at that time. And I remember I went up to him, that poor little feller, and I put him up against my shirt. And I gave him a kiss, and I kissed my wife, and she was sick also. Had pneumonia, both of them did. And I put his face was covered in blood. God is my witness. His face was covered in the little stuff that you get, the white blood cells. And I put him up against my chest, and I said, son, I love you. And I felt about that tall. I didn't even have enough money to pay my rent. We were going to get kicked out of our house. My electric bill was fixing to be shut off. And here I'm supposed to be a guy that's a Christian. I'm supposed to be a guy. I'm the guy, and I paid my tithes. It wasn't much, but I gave what God gave me, and I paid the tithes with it. And I'll tell you what, I felt that tall. I felt like the worst dad you could ever imagine. I felt like the worst husband you can ever imagine. She could have had anybody, but she chose me to be with me. And I can't even provide a house for her. I'm fixing to lose everything. And I remember I picked him up and I put him against my chest and I got blood on my shirt. It was a white shirt. And I got inside that Cherokee and I said, God, I don't know what's going on. I heard this message and I said, I know this message is true. I believe it to be the truth. And God, I've been trying to serve it the best I know how. I don't have faith, God. I don't. And I remember I drove that thing all the way to Pecola, and I was expecting to run out of gas at any time, but I never did. And I got to church. I sat in the back of that where Brother Tony's sitting at in that building. And I remember I couldn't understand anything being preached in that service because I felt so defeated. I felt like I was grasshoppers in their sight. I was at a point in my life where, God, I can't overcome this. I don't know what to do. I'm fixing to lose everything. And then the devil put thoughts in your mind. Your wife will leave you too. If you can't provide for her, why should she stay with you? You know, I felt that tall, and I sat all through service, and I think to myself, God, I don't know why I'm paying my tithes. I've been doing everything I know to do, and I'm failing, God. How many feels like you're failing sometimes? No, I was sitting all through service. I said, God, I don't know what to do. And all through the service, they got this service going on. And they said, at the end of the service, they said, I want Daniel Black to come up and pray. And I felt like I was that tall. If there's anybody that should be praying, it definitely ain't me. But I walked up to the altar, and every step I was going up there, I'm thinking about everything that I don't have. And I put my hands on the platform, and then I started to remember what I do have because I felt his presence. I didn't have anything materialistic, but I had something inside here that said, that's God that I feel. And I started to pray, and I said, God, I ask you to help me with this. And began all of a sudden, a voice began to speak up. And I said, God, I ask you to heal my boy. God, I ask you to heal him. I ask you to break that chain, God. Heal my wife. You know I'm fixing to lose everything, God. Heal my finances, God. Help me with all these things. And I began to just break and let go and say, God, take control. I believe this is the truth, and I'm walking it the best I know how. Please, God, help me. And I tell you what, I felt the peace come over me like I've never felt. And I felt victorious. And I don't know how in the world I got the gas and that thing to get there, but I did. I got inside that old Jeep, and I drove it all the way home, and I was shouting and praising God the whole way. The whole way there, I was worried about the gas tank running out of gas. The whole way there, I was just praising God, thanking him for what I had. And I get to the door, to the house, I pull up, and my wife meets me at the door, and that boy's face is as perfectly healed as it is right there. And she was perfectly healed as she is today. God is a life-changing God. He's a chain-breaking God. But sometimes you have got to go through the pressure. Sometimes you've got to come to the point where my source of strength is not my finances. My source of strength is not what I can do. My only source of strength is God. I believe you're the truth. Amen. That night I couldn't even go to sleep. I prayed all night long. I sought God. I said, God, the same miracle that you used to heal my boy, I want you to open these scriptures to me. I want that same power to change my life. I want that same power to make this word live in my life. And I'm here to tell you that same power come down and begin to open up scriptures to me. Pentecostals go as far as shouting and speaking in tongues, but see, we got to have the word. The word has got to open up to you. And we begin, when you hear the word, you say, God, I believe this to be the word. Amen. I want to share something with you. If I can get it to pull up here. A diamond is made with pressure. A diamond is one of the most expensive things in the world. And I pulled this off of an unbiased website, and it's about diamonds. And God will use the natural to type a spiritual. And this is an unbiased. I want you to read what they say about this diamond. There is what's called a diamond fire. What it is and why you should care about it. What are diamond fire, brilliance, and scintillation? A diamond fire is simply the colored sparkle that you can see when a stone is exposed to light. Diamond fire, in contrast to fire, brilliance is the colorless light that is emitted from the stone. Scintillation is a term that refers to the flashes of light
you can see when you hold a diamond in your hand and move it. This is how a diamond cuts affects fire and brilliance. So I want you to listen to this. The fire is caused by the light that is broken down into different colors when it enters the diamond. This is why diamond fire is called dispersion. As you might guess, this is also the reason cut is very important for how much fire a diamond will exhibit. How a diamond is cut will depend on how much light it will exhibit. If a diamond is cut in so-called ideal proportions, the stone will blend and reflect light in such a way that diamond's fire and brilliance will be maximized. On the other hand, the further away the stone's proportions are from those from the ideal cut, the less fiery and brilliant that diamond will look. If a diamond is cut too shallow or deep, compared to the ideal proportions, the light will leak out of the bottom and the stone and not return to the eye of the observer. As a result, the stone will appear less brilliant and less lively. The type of light, this is the most important, the type of light a diamond is exposed to is another factor that affects how much fire and brilliance you will see in the stone. Generally, a good combination of light sources can maximize the fire in the diamond. For example, in jewelry stores, the lights are arranged and combined in such a way that the diamond's fire, brilliance, and sparkle are enhanced. Since lighting is so crucial to the appearance of the diamond, it is very important to see it in the natural light before buying it. Keep in mind that if there are other colored lights in the store, they can make the diamond you are looking at seem more fiery than it would be in normal daylight. Another important factor that has an impact on fire is the diamond clarity. In general, the lower the clarity is, the more negative it affects the fire and the sparkle is your stone. This is because the bigger and the more numerous inclusions there are in a stone, the more likely they are to stop the light from moving freely inside. As a result, a diamond that is heavily included will look dull. And I'm going to skip down to the one last thing. How to keep your diamond, keep the fire in your diamond. It is interesting that a lot of people don't realize how important it is for a diamond to be clean in order to look lively. The more dirt particles there are on the surface of the stone, the harder it is for the light to get in and reflect back. And when a diamond loses its fire and brilliance, its surface flaws and internal conclusions become more visible. So this is what you do. So to keep your diamond brilliant and alive, clean it often to remove the dust and the dirt particles that accumulate over time. And one last quote from Brother Brown. In Kimberley, South Africa, once I was looking at diamonds, how they was brought up out of the ground, and I seen them laying there. Well, the superintendent of the plant or of the mine was one of the ushers of the prayer line. And I noticed the diamonds, valued at $10,000, piled together, but they didn't sparkle even under the light. And I said to the superintendent of mines, I said, "Why don't they sparkle?" He said, "Sir, they haven't been cut yet. They must be cut. Then when they're cut, they'll reflect the light." There you are. The masterpiece must be cut. Notice, cut for what? Is the same piece cut off? No, the piece that's cut off of it is made of a Victrola needle, and that Victrola needle is used upon a record that's unseen music to the world, but the needle is what brings it out. It brings out the true interpretation of the word. And I could go on and on about this diamond, about the process. And there's 5 steps of the diamond. And at the top of the 5-fold ministry, it is showing you how that you can have this diamond, and that can and stores can present different lights, different colors in the lights, and make that diamond look like a real diamond. But if you take that same diamond and you put it in the original light, that's when the true diamond will manifest, and so will the fake. That's right. The churches out here, you can make, they can look real, they can look great. But when you put it in the presence of the real light of the Word,
That's the true test.
If it is this the real diamond?
Am I the real diamond? I won't be the real diamond. Say amen?
Amen.
Go ahead and learn position step. I want to overcome and take my land. I want to be the diamond to where I sit in the center of my diamond, where I am at a point when that light shines on me. I want people to look at me and see my life of the diamond. You can have a ring, Sister Anna. You can have the diamond on that. And people can look at that and say, well, I don't see nothing there. And all you got to do is, see how I did that? Bam. As soon as you do that, that diamond will light off, and anybody that walks by can see that. And your life can be just like that. Your life can be like that, where you say, I want people to see the life of Christ in me. I want my life to be where somebody can look at me from afar off and say, wow, look at that diamond way over there. I want it to be that way, but sometimes we just need a little twist. Sometimes we need just a little change. And when we read right here, it's got to be washed every day. It's got to be clean every day. God wants you to glow. God wants your life, to glow. To where someone can look at you and say, that's an awesome testimony. I want that testimony in my life. I want it to be when I talk to somebody, I want to be able to share this testimony. I want to share this testimony. God wants to. God wants to. God wants to use you. Brother Branham talked one time about a gold prospector. He said this gold prospector he had this old dog with him, by the name of Fritz, I believe the name was, and he took this dog with him everywhere he went. He'd see looking at shuffling the gold, the dirt and the stream, and he'd shuffle up trying to find gold, and all of a sudden his old dog started growling. And he looked over at his dog and he'd say, what's going on here? He's growling. And he looked back and he didn't even know, and there was a mountain lion right there. And that dog saved his life. And day after day, this man and his dog would go out and looking for gold. And one day, he hit it rich. One day, he found the golden nugget his whole life has been looking for. His whole life spent, he finally got it. And he says, tomorrow, I'm a rich man. Tomorrow, things change, Fritz. Tomorrow, no more hard work. And he's walking through there, and old Fritz started growling again. He's, old Fritz, knock it off. He said, I'm a rich man, and you're going with me, buddy. We've done this whole way. The two of us, we're going, and we're going to be a rich man and a rich dog. You're going to get the biggest T-bone steak you ever need. And going through it, old Fritz kept growling. He said, stop it, Fritz. He said, I'm trying to enjoy my moment. This is the moment of my life I've been waiting for. Don't ruin my moment. Don't be a dud, Fritz. And the old Fritz would growl, and he'd keep growling at him, and he'd say, Fritz, knock it off. I'm a rich man. And the man went all the way to his cabin, holding his nugget, and all he could think about is, I'm a rich man. And old Fritz got up, and he started growling again and growling again. And finally, he took his gun up. He said, Fritz, you either shut up or I'm going to shoot you. Fritz laid back down and he's sitting there and he started to go to sleep. And old Fritz started growling at him again. And he's getting plumb frustrated. He finally picked up his gun and shot old Fritz. He said, I didn't need that old dog anyway. He said, because tomorrow I'm going to be a rich man. And that man went to sleep and he didn't know there was someone following him that whole time. And Fritz was trying to warn him. Fritz kept telling him, be careful. He said, there's someone behind you. Careful, careful, careful. He got sick of the nagging. And he shot old Fritz, and that man killed that man that night. Well, hear you. Tell you. Be a voice speaking to you. And he might be speaking to you this morning. And he may sound like he's just an old dud trying to run your motor. I'm here to tell you, there's someone behind you. And he's trying to take your life. Someone behind you, he's trying to steal your life away from you.
if there's a still small voice inside you that keeps plucking at your heart and saying, watch out, watch out, watch out, stop doing these things, stop doing these things, stop doing these things, don't override that voice. Listen to that voice, because that voice is trying to save you. Achan was a man that was with God's army, and Achan was told, stay away from these Babylonian garments. Don't do these things. He was told not to. But Achan had something inside him that kept calling him back to those things. He picked up those Babylonian garments. He knew it was wrong. There was a voice that was calling him and said, stop doing that, Achan. You got to get this thing right, Achan. You know better than that, Achan. Achan overrode that voice and hid it inside the tent. And because he did that, several men lost their lives in the army because of his sin. I'm here to tell you, you may think that sin in your life don't matter. I'm telling you, if God's plucking at your heart, it matters. Because you can cost someone your life. Most importantly, your heart. Amen. It's all sin, if you don't mind. Would you just bow your heads if you don't mind? We have a land in front of us. And if your life was anything like mine, especially when I first started my walk with this Lord, it looked absolutely impossible for me to go from what I am to what God's Word says I need to be. But I'm here to tell you, the blood, when the blood is upon you, it's as if you've never done it in the first place. You're clean, white as snow, and God don't even remember it anymore. And you may feel like you're the old tomato plant that I said it don't have any fruit on you. Feel like you're back to ground zero all over again. You may feel that way, but I'm here to tell you, God looks at you different this morning. If you've got the pull in your heart, if you've got a pull, and you're feeling God pulling the strings of your heart, don't you override that voice this morning. You reach out to Him and you say, God, I feel the pull this morning. God, I feel it and I want to surrender to it this morning. Every head bowed and every heart praying, I want to ask you, you don't have to come to the altar, but if you want to, it's certainly open to you. If you're going through something, you say, well, Daniel, I feel that pull, but I don't know what to do about it. I think I might be right, but I don't know. I want to be right. You're welcome to come up front here if you like to, and I'll be glad to pray with you. Don't you worry about time. Don't worry about what people are thinking about, holding the service too long. That don't matter. The only thing that matters this morning is one soul. You know, a person will eat if they had a bowl of soup given to them, they had a spider in it, they wouldn't even touch it. But they'll put stuff in their soul that'll contaminate it and ruin their soul. And your soul's worth 10 million worlds. This morning, if you feel the pluck in your heart, the pull in your heart, say, God, I'm feeling that thing. If you can lift up your hand if you want to and say, Lord, I feel that pull this morning. Every head bowed. And God sees your hand this morning. Process. God sees your hands. Every head bowed, nobody looking around. This is between you and God. If you're feeling that pull in your heart this morning, don't you leave this service this morning without you touching God this morning. You say, God, I'm full of mistakes. Seems like every time I take a step forward, I'm falling flat on my face all over again, and I feel like that old tomato plant. God, I want to produce the fruit in my life you said I can produce. Now, I'm going to pray, and you can pray right from your seat. If you need help coming forward, you come forward, and we'll break this chain together through the blood of Jesus Christ. Before it is, I'm going to ask you, number one, if you haven't received the Lord into your heart this morning, right now, you say, Lord, I want you in my heart. I want a life change, God. I've tried being that old peacock. I don't want to do it no more. I want to be the real thing. I want the real Holy Ghost. I want the real experience in God. If you want it this morning, I'm telling you, claim your land this morning. You be the end time warrior this morning. You say, I don't care how many times I fell down. I'm claiming it this morning. I'm going to be the warrior. I've fallen down. I may have fallen my face over and over and over again. I don't care. I'm getting back up this morning. And I'm saying, Lord, I claim the blood this morning. Lord, I claim it this morning. I claim my family this morning. I'm here to tell you He's here this morning. Don't you go by your feelings, you go by the Word. The Word's been spoken.
Oh, God, I'm asking you right now, you go through the aisles. You see the hands that have gone up, oh, God. Lord, you see the need among us, oh, God. Lord, we may look at ourselves as a grasshopper, Lord. I feel like I'm not a warrior. I feel like I'm defeated. But, Lord, I'm pushing my feelings to the side this morning. And, Lord, I'm claiming the blood this morning. Oh, God, I'm asking you, Jesus, the hands have gone up across this building, Lord. Go to every need this morning, Lord. Turn every rock in their life, oh, God. Break every chain, oh God. I ask you, Father, manifest yourself among us this morning, Lord Jesus. Lord, I'm asking you right now that you'll walk the aisle this morning, God, and break every chain, oh God. Lord Jesus, may they push that unbelief to the side right now, oh God. Lord, I'm asking you, you give them the genuine baptism of the Holy Ghost, oh God. Lord, I'm asking you right now in the name of Jesus Christ, you will beat this devil back where he needs to be, Lord. Break this chain, oh God, in Jesus' name, Lord. We put it under her feet. Devil, you're a liar. You're a thief. And we claim back this land this morning in Jesus' name, oh God. Is there anybody else that needs prayer this morning? He's here this morning. He will break your chain. He's a chain-breaking God this morning. Oh God, I need your help.
Here on life is to express the glory of the Lord. Hey, Brother Daniel's talking about us being diamonds. And, you know, the scripture says, some exact quote, God is light. And we need light. We need light to survive, but we need light to show us how to walk in our pathway. And the world is dark, and without light you stumble. And the scripture says he is the I am. Not the I was or I will be, that I am. Everyday present light. And that light is to come into you. And, you know, Brother Daniel's showing how that we as Christians, we have to go through hard times. But those hard times is that cutting the diamond. It's through hard times that you're going to reflect more of God in your life. That's just the way it is. If you look at any species anywhere, any time throughout Earth history, it's always survival of the fittest. It's always. And it's the ones who fail at the testing and trying, they don't go on to be the next generation. So you see, that's the way it is. When God lets trials come our way, it is to cut you and to shape you so that God who is light can reflect through you. And so you have to keep yourself clean. You have to be endure those trials. And I think I mentioned it before. I seen a movie years ago, and Lord forgive me for bringing it up, but it's a good analogy, and I've mentioned it, how that these guys had this large laser. They were going to do something with it. I don't know whatever. But somebody wanted to sabotage what they were doing, and so they snuck in one night, and they threw one of the lenses the laser goes through. They smeared a little grease or something on there. Of course, when they turned the laser on, it just, everything went bonkers, you know, because that lens was not clean. And that's the way it is. If we have dirt and trash in our life, it causes the light of God not to be able to shine through us like it should. If she would open up a scripture, I want you to pull up St. John chapter 14, verse 30. See, we don't want Satan to have anything in us. We don't want him to be able to lay claim on anything about us. So the Word of God is here to cleanse us and to make us where we can just stand in his presence. You know, I was thinking there about Adam and Eve, and the scripture said the voice of God came down in the cool of the day. This is the way God comes to you. It's through his voice, the voice of his word, the preaching of his word.
That's right.
And as Brother Daniel said, on that particular occasion where Adam and Eve enjoyed the presence of the Lord, they enjoyed hearing the voice of the word being preached. I'm going to say it that way. But after they had done something wrong, there was condemnation, and they knew it. Nobody had to tell them. They knew in their own hearts they had done something wrong. And the only way, the quickest way to know that is that when the voice came, now we didn't feel so good in the presence of the Word. Right? Because they knew themselves something was wrong. And so we could all just, that'd be real easy for us to say, well, how do I feel in the presence of the preaching of the Word? Am I comfortable with this, or do I feel uncomfortable for some reason? See? Nobody else can tell you that, but your own conscience will tell you whether or not you enjoy hearing the word of the Lord.
That's right.
And if you don't enjoy the hearing of the word of the Lord, you need to ask yourself why. See? Because that's an indication that there's something wrong there. Because a child of God should be able to stand in the presence of their father with joy and not worry about a whipping. Right? That's the best way to do it. So this is Jesus, and this is at the end of his ministry when Satan is fixing to have his heyday, and Jesus is going to be crucified, and he knew that's where he was headed.
Yes.
But look what he said. He said to his disciples, he said, hereafter I will not talk much with you, because he's fixing to go through his passion, right? For the prince of this world, which is Satan, right? He's the prince of this world. The prince of this world cometh, and he hath nothing in me. Satan wants to come at you, but wouldn't it be really nice if you could stand there and say, you know what? He can come at me all he wants, but there's nothing he has in me.
Come on.
I don't have lust problems.
Right.
I don't have all these other issues, right? Wouldn't it be nice to be able to stand there and say, he can't touch me because I'm under the blood.
Yeah.
Amen? And that's exactly what it is. And so God wants you to be that diamond, but you remember, diamonds, It used to be cold, right? When I was a kid growing up, and my aunt back there, she'd tell you this, we actually heated with coal. And for some reason, us kids, we were just drawn to that coal pile like a magnet, you know? We just loved to play with that stuff, but guess what? We'd get it all over us. It'd get on our hands, on our face, on our clothes, and Grandma didn't like that, you know? But you know what? That coal we used to heat with, whatever, that was actually a diamond, used to be that. But how did it get from there to being a diamond? How did it get from being something so that all it's really good for is fire? Right? That's all we're good for is just to go to fire, go to judgment.
That's right.
Right? But God, through pressure and through heat and through the cutting, can take that which is good for only fire and bring it into something that can express the glory of God and also is so hard.
That's right.
They use diamonds to cut things.
That's right.
Because it's so hard, right? So God can take us who's just good for nothing and make something out of us, but only through a process of his process, right? So we thank the Lord for that. I appreciate what Brother Daniel had to share with us this morning. He covered so many topics. I sit there and I'll take notes, you know, and because I want to come along behind and back up what he says, you know, any minister. And he covered so many areas. I'm thinking, man, there's a sermon there, and a sermon there, and a sermon there. And so I'm just going to end it by saying this. If you got any questions, we're here to answer them.
Yeah.
Amen. Got any questions about anything you heard? We want you to go away convinced. Right? And if you're convinced that this is truth, then obviously you will be concerned about your own life and about the lives of others. Amen. Just thank the Lord for what we heard this morning. So, amen. Just, you know, when the scripture said in Revelations, God would take Satan, cast him into a bottomless pit, and put a chain upon him. And you know what Brother Graham said that chain was? It was a chain of circumstance.
That's right.
Right? A chain of circumstance. So, when the prince cometh, this Satan's going to come at you tomorrow. He's going to come at you this afternoon. But you want to be standing there where like Jesus said, he has nothing in me. Your life to be a chain of circumstances for Satan, that there's nothing he can do, that he is absolutely bound.
Yes.
And not able to do anything with you because you're a believer.
Amen.
God bless you. We'll just sing a song.